want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It's Monday. Let's get after it again today. Let's represent the King and grow in our faith and our walk with Him. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're glad that you've joined us here for the next half hour as we are working our way through the Word of God. Right now, we are looking at the things that God's Word wants to instruct us in, wants to teach us. And we're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul, with a pastor's heart, is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and telling him how he should conduct himself in his role as pastor in these communities. So I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Folks, they are a wonderful, wonderful group of people to deal with. They are a treasure to Brevard County, and I use that word on purpose. If you find someone that is really, really good at what they do and they want to make everybody's life better in what they do, that's where these are. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program, and they've got over 2 decades worth of experience as a licensed and insured family business. They have a full array of products that they offer all the way throughout Brevard County, from artificial turf and landscaping services, pavers, installing and managing drains and downspouts, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair, designing, planting, doing the maintenance, whatever it is that needs to be done outside, they really do know what they're doing. They're very excellent at it, and they come in and get after it. They want to get the project done and get out of your way. Their phone number is 321-749-1432, where they can transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Also, don't forget, they also have Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal on Merritt Island. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and their phone number is 321-452-5565. I am so thankful that the Lord orchestrated our steps a few years ago when I was looking for a project to get it done, and Dan showed up at my door. And it has been something that has become a treasured relationship for me. So thank you, Dan, and your team. God bless you. Today we're going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 14, where Paul writes, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So Paul starts off and he tells Timothy to instruct his congregation in such a way that he reminds them, he causes them to remember, whether that's through intentional acts on his part of bringing up, you know, using his authority to remind them of the things that have gone on in such a way that it will impact their present behavior. So we have more tools available to us now that can help us to remember than we've ever had before. So here, a couple of weeks ago, my office manager came in. I was already in, and when she came in, I was going to discuss a few things that had come to mind, and I every time I brought something up, she said, "I've already done it, already done it, already done it." She's going to be retiring later this year. We're not happy about that, but she's done a great job. She's been, you know, phenomenal in keeping me on track for over 20 years. And so very, very thankful for all that she does. And so when I was telling her the second thing that she had already done, I call her Radar O'Reilly, because Radar knew what the general needed, or the colonel, whatever his name was, knew what he was going to say before he ever said it. And so they made this big joke about that. And so she said, "Yeah, I make a list of everything that I need to remember to do." And that particular day was just a buzz of activity. And so later on in the day, she's looking at her to-do list and she's checking it off. It was on her phone. It helped her to remember. And, you know, I've now gotten to the place where I write things down that I need to remember. So sometimes we have people who can remind us. So a lot of times I'll delegate and I'll say, "Hey, would you help me, or would you remind me about this?" And then whenever somebody says that to me, I'm a bit of a practical joker, and about 1 minute later I say, "Now don't forget that you're supposed to do this." And they said, "Well, I really wanted that reminder a little closer to the event." You can set appointments on your smartphone. You can cause your watch to alert you to events that you need to remember. And God has given us people, pastors, teachers, parents, grandparents who can help us to remember. So I try and wish everyone at the church a happy birthday. And so there's a birthday reminder list that I have. So I don't forget people's birthday. In fact, there's, you know, people, January is a very busy month for birthdays. Remind people. Don't be a person that nags them, but be a person that reminds them of how they are supposed to live. And so he says, in your reminding, charge them before the Lord. And that's to give a mandate. It's a declaration or an assertion that's based on your personal knowledge. It's something that you can testify about. Literally, the Greek word that is used there is built upon the word for witness out of Acts chapter 1:8, which is the word martyr. So being a witness means that, you know, you're going to be a witness to that, even to the point of death. It's a warning. You know, sometimes we don't like warnings, but they can be very beneficial. I come from a part of the country that not every area has the same type of weather phenomena that happened there. And so tornadoes were pretty common where I grew up. We had several that came very, very close to our house or to places that we were working, or really impacted the area for decades, it never did look the same after that. And so there were tornado warnings. Now, you don't really want a tornado warning going off at 2 o'clock in the morning, but if there's a tornado, you really do want that tornado warning going off. So my parents' church lives right across from a school. They positioned a lot of these tornado sirens on school property so that the school, the students would get the most warning so that they could position themselves in a safe place. So pastors are not only charged with the responsibility of passing along information, but also providing warnings when there's danger or there's a threat. And in this case, he says to charge or to warn them not to strive about words to no profit. And that charge is before the Lord, by the way. That warning says, look, this is, Gabriel told Zacharias, he said, I stand in the presence of the Lord. I am sent to you presence of the Lord. The warning is not because it is a threat to you as a person. It's not a threat to you as an individual, but it is a mandate. It is a charge that comes from being in the presence of the Lord. So our sermons should be messages that are birthed out of the reality of being in the presence of the Lord. Thus we can walk into the pulpit and say, thus says the Lord. Okay, that really is where our warnings should come from. And the mandate, the warning, has to do with about having an argumentative nature. And it says, I charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. It's not to spend your time in unending disputes about words. And they are not just words. They are words that are not profitable, they're not useful, or they're not beneficial. So if I find a person just basically wants to argue all of the time about things that do not have any eternal value, it's not profitable, it's not useful, it's not beneficial, and so I'm not going to do it. So if you want to argue about, you know, the labels on the products at the grocery store, I'm not interested in that argument. I'm not interested in, you know, having, you know, this debate and this mental combat that is not going to lift up the name of Jesus. So there are some things that are hills to die on, if you will. That Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died upon the cross, he was beaten so that healing could come to our bodies. By his stripes you are and were healed. That he was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, that he's coming again. Those are things that I am absolute going to stand and declare as absolute truth. But there are other things that do not rise to the level of being worthy of strife. So I've told a story before that I was having a conversation with a person. We were discussing a business activity that he was facing, I had been through, and I was preparing them for what a long, deliberative process it was, and what a challenge it was for us. And then I got to my seat, and when I got there, God said, "How dare you?" I said, "How dare I what?" I literally was left taken aback, if you will. What did I do? And he said, you sowed seeds of strife and discord between a pastor and a person in their congregation. And I said, I didn't mean to do that. And he said, "Well, you did." And I said, "I'll go take care of that right now." I got up from my seat. I went over to that brother and I repented and apologized, because strife and discord are threats to the unity that is supposed to be in the body of Christ. And while the business transaction was inconvenient and it, you know, was not handled in the way that I would have preferred it to be handled, it didn't rise to the level of, you know, being something to get into an argument about. It wasn't useful. It wasn't beneficial. And so I repented and moved on from that. So you have to ask yourself, if there's going to be a discussion, does it rise to the level of really mattering? So throughout my life, I have had many conversations where a person remembers an event differently than I do. They remember a conversation differently than I do. And in spite of what they used to do with the commercial, there is no red challenge flag. There is no videotape that you can go back to and say, "Okay, I was right, you were wrong, and we don't want to find out if I was wrong and you were right." And so what I have come to say is, you know, I remember that differently than you do, but there's no way that either one of us is going to be able to demonstrate that we have the correct perception. And so how can we move forward? How can we prevent these two different perceptions in the future, so it doesn't become an argument or a dispute or a debate? It literally becomes a modification to where we can have more accurate reflections on what's going on. So what happens in verse number 14 is Paul tells Timothy the impact of striving or disputing or arguing about words that don't have any benefit or any usefulness is that it has the ability to ruin the people who are hearing that. The word there for ruin is the word from which we get the word catastrophe. It's spelled just like catastrophe, only with a K instead of with a C. So whenever we start majoring on minors and minoring on majors, so we're arguing about things that don't really have any eternal relevance, it gets us off the track of what we're supposed to be on, and it has devastating, catastrophic results for the people who are listening, the people who happen to not be part of the conversation, but the conversation is taking place right there where they are. So several years ago, probably 15 years ago, maybe more longer than that, I was having lunch in a local restaurant. I eat to live. I don't live to eat. And so I just hopped into this restaurant real quick, and I didn't choose my table. They assigned me my table. No one else knew who I was, but there were some people that were in there that were from another church. From their conversation, they work in that church, or did back then, and they were having negative conversations about the inner workings of their church right there in a public place. And I happened to be a person who was there hearing. And I'm not a big fan of that. There are already enough stumbling blocks that people have when they are on their journey towards Jesus. There's already enough obstacles in their way. We don't need to be sowing strife within our own congregation by having conversations in public that would prevent people from coming to Jesus. So, but it can be catastrophic. A stumbling block that causes someone to miss putting their faith and trust in Jesus has eternal consequences. That is significant. So, verse number 15, again, the charge continues to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so our Christian life should be one of diligence. It should be marked by a zeal for the things of our spiritual life as much as they are for our physical life, our jobs, our health. We should be very eager. We should be making every effort. We should be doing it in a hurry. We should be, part of the definition there, or the way that the word is translated, is make haste. Get on with it. Let's stop procrastinating. And so be diligent. So be very zealous and eager, and don't just do it lackadaisically, but be very diligent to present yourself approved to God. And so when I was thinking, how can I emphasize that word diligence? I was thinking about two frogs that were stuck in a rut. And there was, it was a dirt road, cars had come by, and they were down inside this rut, and the first frog jumped and he was able to get out, but the second frog didn't have the strength to get out. And the other frog was trying to be an encouragement to him, and no matter how much encouragement, you know, there wasn't left a frog leg down there and help the other one out or anything like that. Just the other frog was getting fatigued and was not even jumping as high as it had before. And now there was a car coming. And the first frog said, "You know, I hope you find a way out." And he went off, and he really didn't expect that the other frog was going to survive. And to his surprise, he found out that later in the day they crossed paths, and he said, how did you get out? And the frog that was stuck in the rut said, "You don't understand. I had to get out. There was no other option." So he gave everything he had and was able to eventually get out of the rut. You and I, we need to be putting every effort to make sure that we present ourselves, that we are proven, that we are approved and tested and recognized to God. Our audience is how is this going to be received by God? That's the first and foremost thing. And if we are doing our very best to make sure that we're pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, then we are going to have a mark of distinction. We're going to have a fragrance about us that will be different than what the world has to offer. To the world, we may be the fragrance of death, but because we live to God, we're the fragrance of life. Fragrance has a residual effect. It doesn't just last while you're there, but it has the way of being a reminder of, you know, that you've been there in the past. And so you and I, the thing that would make the biggest difference is the lifestyle that we lead, that it's a lifestyle that has a goal that is approved by God. It's got God's stamp of approval on it. There are a lot of people today who are living for the approval of a stamp from this community or that community or this mindset or this belief system or that belief system. And all of those are way too many rungs below the target, where the goal that we should have is, when I come into the throne room of heaven and when I'm praying before God, is he going to approve of the things that I've said, the things that I've done, the places that I've gone, and the intentions that I had while I was doing it? I think it's UL is the signal or the stamp that they put on something when it is electrically approved by whoever sets the standards for that. You and I should have the stamp of approval that says approved by God. Make every effort. Be very diligent to present yourself approved to God. If God is pleased with us, nothing else matters. I've been there. I've had times when God was pleased and people weren't. And I said, you know what? I can live with that. I'm not happy about it, but I can live with it. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.